A program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Program is sponsored by the Alan Churchill Christian Ministries, Perth, Ontario. This is Alan Churchill speaking. Today, my message is entitled, Where Happiness Comes From. The Bible says, These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. These words of Jesus you can find in the 15th chapter of John's Gospel in the New Testament at verse 11. Here now are the Discovery House singers with a great hymn, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee.
Yeah.
the great composer said that joy is not in things, it is in us. That is true to a large degree. Of course, it is not entirely true. We know that we need food on the table and clothes on our back and shelter over our heads. We need education. We need a job. We need things to do and places to go if we are to fulfill our purpose as human beings. So joy is to some considerable degree in things and not just in us. But Wagner is right to this extent. We can have all kinds of things and still be unhappy. If there isn't that superabundance of joy, that extra that God gives us in life, we will not be happy. Seneca, the Stoic moralist, said, "To be happy, add not to your possessions, but rather subtract from your desires." To some degree, the Christian gospel and Stoicism overlap. They agree on certain points. It's probably true to say that we have more, we possess more than we really need. Most of us do, at least in Canada. But there are some places in the world where possessions do need to be multiplied, and we must not deny that to those who are less fortunate than ourselves. But so far as we ourselves are concerned, we probably do need to subtract from our desires. There can be true desires, and there can be false desires. True desires are acceptable. We can even say that God has written them into the fabric of our beings. But some of our desires need to be reformulated or got rid of altogether. Aeschylus, the Greek playwright, says that happiness comes from the health of the soul. To some degree, this is true. If we don't have a healthy attitude, if we don't have a healthy mind, if we don't have a healthy spirit, then you and I will not be happy. There is a certain natural happiness that is authentic, that is important, a natural happiness that we ought to have. But happiness comes from more than just health of the soul. It comes from the spiritual relationship that we have with God. W. R. Ing, Dean of St. Paul's in London, once said, "The happy people are those who are producing something. The bored people are those who are consuming much and producing nothing." To the degree that we produce that which is worthwhile, useful, helpful to others, that is certainly true. And it is probably true to say that the bored are those who aren't so involved in producing things as in consuming them. One of the points we have to keep in mind today as we look at our subject is to recognize that happiness cannot be obtained by going after it directly. That is not to say that we mustn't go after it, but we have to go after it obliquely, not directly, because happiness is a byproduct. It comes not from having much to live on, but from having much to live for. It comes from the capacity, as one person said, to feel deeply, to enjoy simply, to think freely, to give of oneself to others, and I would add, to understand God's purpose and plan for our lives. Let's break in here and listen to Johnny Cash singing, "He'll Understand and Say Well Done."
If when you give him the best of your service, telling the world that the Savior has come, be not dismayed if men don't believe you. He'll understand and say, "Well done." Oh, when I come to the end of my journey, weary of life, and the battle is won, there in the staff and the cross of redemption, he'll understand and say, "Well done." Understood the Savior of sinners, died on the cross. cross. He was God's only son. But he knew well that his Father in heaven would understand and say, well done. When I come to the end of my journey, weary of life, and the battle is won, bearing the staff and the cross of redemption, he'll understand and say, well done.
Returning now to our message, consider with me the supernatural source of happiness. The teaching of Scripture is quite plain on the subject. It is that supernatural joy or happiness is a gift of God. It is a gift that God wants His children to have. It is specifically the second fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love is the first. Joy is the second, peace is the third, and so on. You can find this in Galatians 5, verse 22. Joy is the second fruit of the Holy Spirit. But to turn to Jesus, we need to focus upon what he has to tell us in this magnificent text in John 15, verse 11. To quote again, "These things, that is, this word that I have spoken to you, is the means whereby you get joy." Now, just to set this in perspective and context, I want you to notice that there are three subjects in this passage: fellowship with God, through the Word of God, which brings joy. The major point of the passage is about our relationship with God, vine and branches. We are to be one with God and interconnected with one another. Our relationship with God in the church, in the kingdom of God, must be like this: with God, with others. But the basis of it, Jesus says, if you and I paid attention as we read through the text, the basis of that relationship with God and the kingdom of God is the Word of God. In four distinct places in John 15, Jesus refers to the Word of God as the basis of this new relationship that we have with Him and with others. First of all, we cannot have a relationship with God that is true and good unless our lives have been dealt with by the blood of Christ. That is to say, unless we have been forgiven our sin. And Jesus says in the third verse of John 15, "By my word you have been cleansed." We know the word that Jesus is referring to. It is the word of the gospel. It is the good news. I'll never forget the day that it dawned upon me that I was forgiven free of charge, once and for all. I always used to think that I had to work out my own salvation. And this was after I knew God. I'd always known God. I'd always known that He was around. My relationship with Him wasn't completely sorted out yet, but I knew Him and I appreciated Him for what He was and who He was. And I always recognized the presence of the living Christ. Never was there a time in my life when I didn't know this. But there was a time in my life when I thought that I had somehow to justify God's forgiveness of me. I was a young man in the Canadian West, and I was reading the Scriptures, and it suddenly came upon me. Many people had told me, but the penny hadn't yet dropped. And words such as these came stealing, settling suddenly into my heart and mind. Many different words, words from St. Paul, words from other parts of the Bible, but this word too: "By my word you are cleansed." Secondly, if you read a little further, you will see that not only is our relationship with God determined by forgiveness, which is conveyed by the Word of God through the gospel, but also that fellowship that we have with God consists also of prayer. Jesus says, "If you pray according to my word, then it will be done unto you as you have prayed." Also in John 15, verse 7 this time. The Word of God is the basis of our experience and our pursuit of prayer in the Christian life. Thirdly, Jesus says, "If you keep my commandments," that is, if you abide in my law, in my word, "then God shall love you and you shall abide in the love of God," John 15, verse 10. It's one thing to know about God. It is another thing to know God. It is a third thing to be able to pray to God. And it is a fourth thing to have the love of God experienced daily in your life. The experiential aspect of the Christian faith and life is essential and is available. And it is available through the keeping of the Word of God. It is here, Jesus says, that the Word of God is essential. Essential to our relationship to God in so many different ways. Cleansing by the Word, intelligent prayer by the means of the Word, and thirdly, to live and abide in the love of God by keeping the Word. And finally, it is through the Word that joy comes. Now, we'll come back to that in a moment. But first, I want to remind you of something that we all need to take cognizance of. It is that joy is an experience of life which God expects us to have as a natural part of our life. If not all the time, then a good part of our lives. Joy and happiness, speaking humanly here, are natural and good. Joy, delight, happiness are not intended by God to be foreign to human experience. Yet how often it is that people who are trying to be intense about life and do some things that matter are less than joyful, are less than happy. Hesitation is important from time to time. To be able to say no is good for us from time to time, is life-saving to us from time to time. And seriousness is valid too. Where would we be? Where would we get? What roads would we walk down and complete our journey upon? What goals would we achieve if we were not serious about them? But joy is valid too. I'm speaking here of joy as a purely natural phenomenon, albeit written into our lives by God Himself, but nevertheless a natural phenomenon. Enjoyment is as valid as eating or sleeping or working or standing for what is right or living in fellowship with God and getting along with your neighbor. Joy is as important as all of that. A person who tries to bar himself from joy is certainly not an obedient person. We've all seen where natural joy comes from. Almost intrinsically, we know it. It comes from having a worthwhile goal and pursuing it. It comes from being thankful. You can't be joyful unless you are first full of gratitude. Thankful to other people. Thankful for life. Just naturally thankful. Joy comes from being productive, doing something for others. But there's something beyond just natural joy. The Bible tells us that there is such a thing as supernatural joy. There is something more than natural happiness, however valid and valuable natural happiness may be. The Bible is clear that there is a supernatural happiness. It is the gift of God. And it is the Holy Spirit that works this supernatural happiness within us through the Word of God. These things I have declared unto you, said Jesus, that my joy may be in you and that you may experience joy to the full. We can, of course, often close ourselves off from joy and happiness either by concentrating on the seriousness or by failing to do the things that bring happiness or failing to concentrate upon them. Either we get caught in the rut of life and get overwhelmed, or we miss the real point of life, or we try to find happiness by pursuing it in places that we can never find it. Good mental health, good emotional health, requires that we be happy most of the time. Family life requires happiness in order for it to be a good human experience. And so does community. Community requires happiness, getting along with others happily. A happy community is a well-knit community. But if joy and happiness, not just natural joy, but supernatural joy and happiness, is a gift from God, this means that the truly happy person will be the person who is spiritually attuned to God. Now let us consider, secondly, that joy is universal and meant to be so. At creation, we are told in the book of Job that morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy. When the foundation of the temple was being rebuilt after the exile in Babylon, some of the Israelite people wept. But we are also told others of the people sang for joy. At the time of the incarnation, the time God became man in Jesus, we are told that the wise men coming from the east, when they saw the star, rejoiced with exceeding great joy. You can't contemplate the incarnation, the coming of God amongst us in human flesh, and not experience joy. Do you and I live and reflect that definition of the kingdom of God? It reflects the righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. A right relationship with God, do we have that? Peace in our hearts, do we have that? And joy, do we have that? This is the reason why people rejoice when the penny drops and the light goes on and they grasp the good news of the Word of God. The disciples were called before the Sanhedrin. They were told not to preach the gospel anymore in the streets of Jerusalem. And when they left, we are told they left rejoicing. God himself is joyful. If joy is a gift from God, that must mean that God himself is joyful, that God himself knows what it is to be joyful and to experience it. When God was creating the world in those 6 days, we are told that from time to time he stopped, took a look at what he had done, and pronounced it very good. That pronouncement, and lo, it was very good, must mean that God was gratified. And what does it mean by saying that God was gratified, but that he was happy about what he had done? In what specifically, then, does a Christian find happiness? First, it is not in fact in what, but in whom. In whom does the Christian find happiness? The answer is, we find happiness in God himself, revealed in Jesus, explained to us by his word and planted within us by the Holy Spirit. But then also we rejoice in the sharing of exactly what we are doing now, in worshiping God, in demonstrating reverence for him. Is there not joy in our hearts that we have taken a little time on Sunday mornings and at other times to come into the presence of God, high and lifted up, yet so familiar to us all in our own hearts that we should worship him? Joy in our hearts, in other words, because of reverence in our hearts and trust in the Lord. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we have discovered both from the Word of God and from experience that joy is a gift from you, that it is by your presence and love that we feel extraordinary happiness that is heaven sent. You are great. You are wonderful. We cannot have in our hearts joy unless we are open to receiving it. We do receive it at this very moment. Amen. Don't forget to worship in a church where the gospel is sounded proclaimed and where it is lived out with integrity and compassion. I want to thank you for your support. Support both in prayer and with financial assistance. This program can continue only with your help. If you are able, please send a check made out and addressed to Dominion Chalmers Church, 355 Cooper Street, Ottawa, Ontario, K2P OG8, Market Good News Broadcast. Our good friends at the church will send you a receipt and make sure your contribution gets to this radio station. Thanks so much. Now, to conclude our program, here are the messengers with a moving song talking about the love of God. May you know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deep within your heart. And may the Heavenly Father surround you with his constant and abiding and accompanying love.
I know that it's true, and if you listen, I'll tell it to you, how something changed me and made me new, talking about the love of God. A love that gave me a song to sing, that made my winters turn into spring, that gave new meaning to everything, talking about the love. But now I know that
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.